Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
Well, that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
It's time for a special episode of the N4G Radio. And by special, I mean system launch. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been through several of these over the years. But now, it's time for a portable one. That amazingly, 75% of the people on the show actually bought.
That's only because we've got four people on.
Oh, even if we'd had two more, we'd still had at least 75%, I think.
That's true.
Because Wombat bought one, too. And
true that.
He ain't here, though. But with us today, we do have the Gambus Con.
Greetings, programs.
We got First Rate of Fury.
What's up? Yeah.
And we got John W.
Hello.
Who still hasn't changed that fucking picture, man.
He's still saying
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Man, it's almost March. You're like that dick that leaves his Christmas decorations up until June, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then put some back up in early October.
Yeah. It's like it's not even Halloween.
AKA my neighbors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You dick. Anyway, I'm gonna change it up a little bit today. Since three of us will be talking about Vita. I'm gonna go ahead and let Drew talk first.
Ooh. Okay.
Which, by the way, I have to tell you about a funny email I got, Drew.
Okay.
I wasn't supposed to put your Shin Megami review up on Friday.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oops. So I want to apologize to our buddies over at Atlas. I hit the wrong schedule button, and I was on vacation.
Oops.
So, thankfully, you know, we didn't have to take it down.
What, they chew you out?
No, they just sent me an email asking me to please, you know, follow the embargoes, and I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even realize that I scheduled it for the wrong day.
Oh, when did it go up?
It went up Friday, and it wasn't supposed to.
Nintendo Power's had theirs up.
Yeah, Nintendo Power had an exclusive. So, that's why.
Sorry.
It wasn't your fault. Oh no, he was thrilled. He was thrilled with the review. So.
I'm sorry.
That was my fault, I put the wrong day on it.
Okay, well, anyway. Yeah, so I played some Shin Megami Tensei.
Really?
Yeah, amazingly enough. Played it so much I reviewed it too early. But, no. It's actually a really good game. It's very enjoyable.
That's Devil Survivor, yeah?
Yeah, Devil Survivor 2. You know, it doesn't change much from Devil Survivor 1, except for the story and stuff like that. But I think it's actually a very good game. It's a very good RPG. I highly suggest it. Also played a little bit more. Well, not a little bit more. I played a lot of Neptunia. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I had to explain that first. And so I'm having trouble thinking. But Hyperdimension Neptunia Mark II. I wrote my review of it. It should be live
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay, no embargo breaking this time.
I'm being safe.
Alright, so yeah, Tuesday, check out that review. I think that if you're into that type of game, then you're going to like it. They greatly improved it, and I have to give them props. I think that it's a very decent RPG.
It's made by a different developer.
Well, it's made from Gust, and from, what's the other one? Idea Factory.
I thought the first one was Idea Factory, or the first one was Gus, and the second one was Idea Factory.
They collaborated together. kind of deal.
TE things, just the first one was made by Compile Heart.
Oh, Compile Heart.
The second one,
was made by Gustin and Idea Factory.
Yep, it just says Idea Factory is what it says here, but Compile Heart made the first one.
Well, see, Compile Heart, see, they do little nods to characters and stuff like that. Like, there's a character in the game called Compa, which represents Compile Heart. And then you got If, who's a character for Idea Factory, and in Gus, they have a character named Gus and stuff like that. So, I don't know, to be honest with you. Because I remember Nipponichi, they love, it's like a love triangle between them, Compile Heart, Idea Factory, and Gust, I guess. So it's a quadruple, whatever. I don't know. They do a lot with each other. But yeah, I do suggest that game to people who would enjoy it. It's a very niche title. Definitely read my review before picking it up, just to make sure that's a game for you. I played another game for review. A game that, from what I understand, apparently nobody likes on the show except me. I played Syndicate. I don't know. What do you not like about it, Ken?
It just wasn't for me. I didn't say that it wasn't any good. I said it didn't feel like it was for me. I'm playing it right now. I played through the first couple levels. I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of burned on shooters right now, and it just feels like a shooter.
Well, it's definitely a shooter. I think it's a good. They have decent shooting mechanics in it. The star of the whole show, though, is the online multiplayer, the co-op. That's solid. It's very solid. I want to say that I can't give it that big of a score, because that game is glitchy. Like, bad.
Well, there's Starbreeze.
Well, yeah, but I mean, parts where, like, alright, so you have to deliver this package. I go to the helicopter, deliver the package, and then I'm stuck. I can't move, can't do anything. That happened to me 3 times during the same mission. This is while I'm playing multiplayer with other people. There was one time where there's guards that have these stunning guns that, like, basically you can't move, you just get frozen until somebody, like, shoots them and they let go of the stun gun or whatever. And we killed all the enemies there, and I was still stuck in the stun animation. And I couldn't move, couldn't do anything. So it has a lot of technical problems, especially. I've heard a lot of people tell me that if you're in a party chat with people and you go and start playing co-op, it can freeze your game. I have experienced this twice. I think, which I've had freezes like in the single player too. I think when it works, it's an enjoyable game. And I think that you have moments in that game, especially in the co-op, where it's brilliant. Like, me and a couple of buddies were playing the co-op, and we had to take down these 4 agents who can basically do everything that you can do. Heal each other, disarm your grenades, stuff like that. And, God, it took us 10, 15 minutes to kill those guys. And when we got done, it felt almost like when you beat a boss in Demon Souls or Dark Souls. You felt accomplished. And it was really fun. And I think there's a lot of enjoyment to be had. I think that if you are a single-player-only guy, you're not going to get that much out of it. I've probably put around 4 hours into the single-player, and I'm close to the climax of that game. But if you have some buddies online that would love to play some co-op action, it's really good. Really good.
Does the single-player stuff carry over?
No. It's completely separate.
That sucks.
Because there's so many powers and so many ship upgrades that you can get that in this multiplayer that you don't get in the single player. Single player, you only have basically 3 things. You have the suicide, the persuade, and the one where you basically short circuit their gun.
Backfire.
The Suicide and the Persuade are not even in the multiplayer, as far as I can tell. They're just totally different things. A lot of them are squad-based, like squad heal and shielding and stuff like that to increase your shields and stuff. It's like a combination of, like, Brink, I guess you'd say, with the cooperative play, and probably Crysis, because there's so many things that you can do, like, to buff yourself and your party members and stuff like that. But I'm actually really enjoying it. I'm going to write my review up, and hopefully I should be live sometime this week. I know I'm a little late to the party, but better late than never.
We recorded a nice video for you.
Oh, yeah, you got a video. We got a video for it. Stay tuned. We got some good stuff coming.
You have no idea.
Am I embargoed on this PC game, I blame?
That's a good question.
I think I can write a preview of it today, the 27th.
Any time today, I think, was the...
I'm pretty sure that's what it was, too. But I can... I'll talk about it, and let me, while I'm looking up this email, to see if I can figure out if I can talk about it. I'm playing a preview build of Risen 2.
Yes, Monday 2/27 at any time.
Okay. Risen 2, Dark Waters. Sequel to, obviously, Risen 1. Changed it up a little bit. Risen 1 was originally a almost like a medieval times kind of thing, knights and stuff like that. This game takes place, I guess, in the future. Pirates. Everything's all about pirates.
You are.
Yeah. And, this is one of those I like to call show enough RPGs.
Show enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like the PR person so eloquently stated, this game will fuck your shit up because it's very difficult. But not difficult in a way where you feel cheated. I think it's you have to listen to conversations. You know, they're not going to give you hints and stuff like that in the game to say, oh, go here, or your quest is supposed to be over here. You need to gather this many things. You got to go find those things. You don't have like a little marker showing you on the map where they are. but yeah, it's a really cool little action RPG. I think the hardcore RPG players will like it. I want to say, like, I'm trying to compare it to a game. Like, Skyrim kind of holds your hand a little bit, but people who play Skyrim would probably like this game. It's a third-person action game. There's a lot of sword play. You can level up, you get experience and stuff like that, and then you can choose to level up certain abilities. So there's sword play, gun play, your defense, your toughness. And your magic is called voodoo. You use voodoo magic. And you can level all those up, but you don't necessarily learn new abilities. You have to go to people who can train you to learn these abilities. So if you want to learn how to parry an attack, you have to go to a sword trainer, and he will train you, but you have to pay him. And that's another thing. Gold is kind of rare in this game. It's hard to come by. You have to do quests, and even whenever you do a quest, you only may get 200 gold. And if you want to learn the parry move, you got to have 1,000 gold. So it's a lot of management in this game. I think, hardcore RPG players like myself would probably pretty much enjoy it. Unfortunately, I don't have my new rig yet, so I have to play it on low settings, but that's okay.
When are you supposed to be getting it?
It's supposed to be this week sometime, hopefully. I'm going to have to take it over to my old roommate's place and have him install a few things, but... We should be good on that, which I am excited. I am so excited to get my new PC. But yeah, I played that. I'll write up a full preview probably today. Hopefully get it up today. As in Monday. We're recording on Sunday, obviously, but I'll write that up and hopefully you guys can read it and check it out. The game comes out in a couple months. But yeah. That preview is actually pretty cool. Trying to think. Other than that, I played a little bit more Final Fantasy 13 too. I had to shelve that. Playing Syndicate and stuff like that. I want to get those reviews out of the way. That's pretty much it as far as future stuff goes. I did finally get a copy of Resident Evil Revelations for the 3DS, and since I'm going to be working today, I'm going to take my 3DS to work and play a little bit of it.
Sweet.
Yep. Sweet. And more Syndicate. I started a Syndicate. If anybody wants to join us, it's called the ZTGD Corp.
I'm one evil megalomaniac corp, that is, as well.
It is. Right now, there's only two workers for it. Now the CEO. So
you're the CEO of my site?
Correct. No, that's I'm the CEO crazy. Of your company.
Oh, I gotcha. I was confused there for a minute.
I can make you out, fella. I can make you a board member.
Oh, well, that's good.
So you can still make
so kind of you.
You can still make decisions. But anyway, yeah. Play some more Syndicate. I really like that co-op. I will say that's what Brink should have been.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, boys. So the rest of us, I'm sure, have one thing and one thing on our mind.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
And you know what? I'm playing it right now.
Me too.
Really? Sweet.
Me too. Wait, you guys weren't masturbating? Oh.
No. Not today.
No, that's later.
That's later. Yeah, we don't want to hear John over there. So since Jason's probably not playing it, which kind of shocked me, why don't you start off with our little Vita roundtable?
Alrighty, the PS Vita, I got one. I think we all pretty much got one this past week. Those of us who own it, we none of us got the early bundle. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's see here. It is definitely the Cadillac of portable gaming, and it's big, it's awesome, it's powerful. When the saying, it feels like you're playing a console, a home console in your hands, that has never been more true than the PS Vita. In many ways, I feel that this could actually, down the road, maybe not purely on a graphical level, but on a conceptual level, be more advanced than PS3 games. I know that's a little bit weird of me to say, but
I actually think I know exactly where you're going, because you know, having spent so much time with it this week, I think the interface. I'm not really a biggest fan of the whole iPhone ripoff interface.
Yeah.
I think everything that it does, from the messaging to the friends list to the trophy management to just everything the way it does, is just so well intuitive.
Mm. And I think hopefully they may follow suit with something similar on the PS3, some kind of more dynamic system for the dashboard. But it certainly stands out miles ahead of the current PS3.
Oh, God, yeah.
The original PSP one.
It feels closer to the 360 mixed in with a little bit of 3DS with the whole Nier thing, earning gifts,
is quite a cool thing.
Yeah, I haven't toyed around with it a whole lot, but I did get two gifts from Mod Nation Racers from two different people on my friends list, and it's kind of neat to see who's within my, I think it's like a 10-mile radius, who's playing the Vita.
Is there anybody?
Oh, yeah, there was about 10 or 15 people on my list.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. You'd see their gamer tag and what they were playing, what they played a lot of. I mean, it really is like when you go into a game, you can actually see the last few of your friends that played it. It just feels like they took a lot from Xbox Live's comparison stuff.
And the live arena stuff's really cool as well, before you load up the game. Like, for example, currently playing Asphalt, and before you load up the game, the live arena tells you how many cars you've collected, how much, or how how big your percentage is of completion. I think having that handy little information, because then obviously at the bottom it comes up with what friends have been playing on certain games and what they've done with it. I think that's really taking gaming, social gaming, sort of to the next level.
I also like that when you, I mean, you can have, what, five things, I think, going on at the same time, but one game and several apps or whatever. But, like, when you're in the game, you can actually see if it needs a patch. You can go to the website. You can view the manual. Like John said, you can see all the friends that have been playing it, what trophies they've earned, what DLC they've bought if they've decided to put that up. I mean, it's just really intuitive. It feels like it feels a lot more streamlined than the PS3 does.
Yeah, I will say that some of the user interface, even though it is streamlined because there's so much stuff going on, if you're not used to a complex user interface, I will say that the system is a little bit of a put off to, I guess, maybe the casual gamer.
I don't know about that. They've just got to work their way through it. It's just a learning curve, I think. It's not that difficult.
It's not that difficult, but it's like, instead of like one step, it's two steps. Instead of two steps, it's three steps to do a lot of things. Like a lot of the apps that the Vita has, like the Friends app and the Messaging app and the Party app, are all three different separate apps. It'd be cool if the apps would actually cover more ground than being like so precise of a subject. Maybe combine apps to where it's just one app, you know, instead of having to open up like two or three apps in order to, you know, see who's online and then to see who you can get into a chat party, you know. Which, by the way,
works really well, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, both of us, we were in a chat party along with DJ Mizuhara from the Red Sun Gamer podcast.
Indeed.
Yes. So
quality's really good.
It was really nice, and I was just amazed that I was having a three-way conversation, basically with...
Be careful I say that.
Well, yeah, yeah. We
have a three-way
conversation with two other people from completely different continents. You know, I live in the United States. John lives in the UK. DJ Mizuhara lives in Japan. So in the sound quality, I mean, literally, we were all on equal footing in terms of this voice chat conversation. You don't have to have like an earpiece or a microphone, because the PS Vita is in itself has a microphone. And, you know, it might have looked a little bit strange for me to carry around my Vita talking to the system and having it talk back to me like if I was using it as almost like a cell phone. Like an internet cell phone. But, yeah, that's how it was. And I was just like, wow, this has some possibilities, you know. It's got, you know, voice chat. I mean, no longer does anybody have an excuse of, oh, I don't have a mic. You know, I can't talk to you. If you're on PS Vita, everybody can talk to each other. So I just find that really cool. I don't know what other things they could do with it, but right out of the gate, I mean, it just, you know, I mean, I picked up the 3DS when originally it was, you know, $250, and I thought it was justifiable, you know. At PS Vita for $250, in comparison, feels almost like a steal, just because, like, the moment that I opened up the system, it just felt expensive. It felt right when you like hold the sucker in your hand and look at it and see the chrome outline around the body of the system and how it almost, you know, mimics an Apple product. I mean, and it's got a nice little weight to it, but it's light enough to still be pretty functional. You know, the system felt just feels like you're holding a couple hundred bucks, you know, in terms of actual hardware. even though it's light enough, you know, it still feels quality. And and once you play a game like Marvel versus Capcom 3 on the system, I mean,
it makes me dream of Mortal Kombat.
Yes, smooth frame rate, bright colors, looks every bit as good as the console version.
Oh God, yeah! I've been playing the crap out of Marvel Capcom. In fact, I got rid of my console version, and I may actually end up with, and this isn't for everybody, but I may actually end up playing Street Fighter X Tekken mostly on my portable because of the fact that I am, you know, a father of a 2-year-old child.
Yeah, the thought did it actually cross my mind as well. I mean, granted, it'll be a long wait. Because I guess it's coming out in like fall or something that I've heard last time, but yeah,
they're not coming out simultaneously.
I thought they were.
Unfortunately,
that sucks.
Where did you read that?
Where did I read that?
Yeah, because last time I checked, they were both due out in March 6th.
Okay. You know me; I'm always on the gaff, so. I don't know if it's true or
actually it was removed from GameStop's release list.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, that I think it's because of the exclusive characters.
It's getting like a bunch of them, isn't it?
14 exclusive characters for the PlayStation versions.
Like wow.
PS Vita and PS3.
14, that's quite a bit.
I'll tell you this right now, I'm buying that game on PS3 to start. And then I will, you know, pick up the Vita version whenever it comes out. Because it will be cross.
I think I'm going to go Vita.
Well, you'll have to wait, apparently.
Well, yeah, well, never mind.
I think I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, you can't buy it, Drew.
I'm not going to.
You're not allowed because of your ban.
My boycott.
Your boycott.
Yeah, that does nothing but hurt me.
I would have to say that 95% of my Vita time has been incredible. And unfortunately, the past 2 days, I've been unable to even play with the Vita at all. I mean, my entire play time with the Vita has literally been Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm pretty eager of trying to sneak some gameplay in today, sometime. The only gripe I have, besides the, little bit more convoluted than what it could have been, user interface, which is, I still think is a good user interface. It's just the apps themselves seem like they're a little bit too precise, a little bit too exact of what you're doing instead of
I really like the Facebook app. I think that's, apart from the fact it's been pulled since launch because of a bug, but I think while it was working and when it does get working again, that looked incredible, that app. I thought that was better than the iPad app.
I haven't been able to use it. Mine gives me an error every time I try to log in.
Yes, yeah, because it's been pulled from the stores that they're working on. It will get fixed eventually, so... I think, well, because it was working for a little while I had it, I think it looks brilliant. I think it's a great little app. And if they continue, and the Netflix as well is a awesome app. They continue that with all of the apps they do. That's going to be pretty impressive as an app machine as opposed to a game machine.
Yeah, they could do a lot with the apps. But I still think the most impressive thing about this thing is the freaking games.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, though. That is the main core of it, isn't it?
Man.
Uncharted. I can't begin to describe how unbelievably awesome Uncharted looks and plays on the Vita. It's without a doubt a must-buy for anybody, a fan of that franchise. And looking at it, it's like... It does reminisce you of the original Uncharted on the PS3. And this is in my hands, on a handheld. Incredible.
And I do like that it lets you play either way you want. You can play traditional or you can use the touchscreen.
Yeah, I mean, they've done Ben Studio have done a fantastic job of integrating the motion and the touch, both rear pad and touchscreen, into the game, but it doesn't force you, with the exception of certain things, like, for example, when he's walking across a pole, or, you know, he's walking across a ledge or something, you have to use the gyroscope to balance him, and then when he's using the machete, you have to kind of slice that way. But other than that, everything else is optional. You play it how you want to play it. They've not forced you to do it, meaning that you just get comfortable with the way that you want to play. But even the intuitiveness of the touch controls in that game is absolutely fantastic. Really adds to it. Really gives it another level.
Oh yeah. What was he saying?
I just said yeah.
Okay.
On the other hand, I've also currently playing Asphalt for the Vita for review. That review will be going up this week, but it's that's a sort of a downside. I mean, you look at Uncharted, see how beautiful that looks. Asphalt doesn't look nowhere near as nice. In fact, it probably just looks like a more of a high-end PSP game. It's got a lot of flaws with the game itself, which is a shame because the content's really good as well. There's lots of game modes, and loads of cars to unlock, loads of tracks to unlock and missions to do and stuff. And it's a shame that a launch title like that, I mean, over in the States, it's kind of on its own because Ridge Racer has been delayed over there, but in the UK, Ridge Racer is out. It was a launch title, and I think it's going to struggle against that game. But the free games, I mean, not many people know you get free games if you go onto the store. There's a cliff diving free game and a free game called Fireworks, which both use EAR cards. I haven't given them a try yet, but you know, to give you free stuff to show you what it can do. And the Welcome Park, that's like a little game thing to get used to the touch controls. There's trophies to be earned there as well. They're certainly pushing you to use all of the features and functionality of the device. And, you know, that's how much faith they have in it, because it works incredibly well.
Yeah, the games are really what's getting me. I've spent a lot of time playing Hot Shots Golf, which...
Oh, so I want to play that.
It's been a
long... Is that your favorite?
It's been a long time since I've played a Hot Shots Golf, and I have probably sank, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours into that game, and I love it. I don't know that I'd say it's my favorite yet. I really like the Tales from Space Attack of the Blob, which is just a downloadable game. It's $8, but it's really, really, really good. And Marvel vs. Capcom is a blast on this portable.
I'm curious about... Blaze Blue.
I do have Blaze Blue. I reviewed that. It's basically the console version, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I bet it looks sweet on that screen.
Oh God, yeah. Everything I've seen so far looks sweet on this screen. My only disappointment so far was Dungeon Hunter, mostly because they're charging you $40 for a game you can get for $13.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of kills me. Army Corps of Hell is actually... I actually enjoy that. It's kind of fun. Reminds me of a Demented Pikmin or Overlord. Wipeout I didn't play a lot of yet. As well as Uncharted, I haven't played a lot of either one of those. But I definitely think Marvel and Hot Shots have really been, you know, the cartridge-based games that I've enjoyed the most. I did download a few PSP games that I had, which it runs PSP games really nice. I can't wait for the PS1 functionality.
Well, we got a long time ago. We got a code for Shenmue Tensei Persona 2, which you threw my way, and I've not been able to play it. I threw that on the hard drive or the memory card, and that looks really nice. Actually, it's. Looks, I mean, you can certainly tell the difference between a Vita game and a PSP game, but the screen does a great job of making it look smooth, and although I'm like an hour and a half into the game, but yet to do first battle, I'm not sure what to expect with that game. Still, the fact that you can do it, it's just a shame that they haven't really got that many titles as yet. It's only a handful. I mean, as soon as things like Final Fantasy VII go on there, I'll be all over that. They just need to beef that catalogue up a bit. Be really good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They need more games. There's a ton of them that I have bought that aren't available yet that I think would be really, really fun.
I'm sure they'll get around to doing them. I should imagine at some point every game that's available to download will be available for the Vita at some point.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get the PS1 stuff on there, too, because I have a ton of PS1 games, and the system...
Have they said anything about the PS2 games that are downloadable?
They will not be playable.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately,
at some point it's bound to happen, though, surely, because this thing can quite easily handle a PS2. No problems whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, it can handle some PS3 games, shit.
I got a question. So how... The PSP games, do they take up the full screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And they still look pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I played...
They probably look better than they do on the PSP.
Yeah, they do look better than they did on the PSP. I actually have Blaze Blue, Justice League Heroes, and Darkstalkers. And they all look fantastic on the screen.
Sweet. Yeah, it is. Thing is, I got a 8 gig memory card, which I know is not going to last that long. I was just curious as to what other PSP games I could probably download. I really don't want to download any PSP games that I already own unless I really, really, really love the game. There might be a couple I might do that too, but I'm not going to get in the habit of doing that. I'll probably just maybe download PSP games I've never had. But yeah, I mean, there are pretty good deals on them. You know, a lot of them are like $20.
Yeah, I actually would have bought, they had a sweet double pack of MotorStorm and Twisted Metal, but neither one of the games are compatible, so. Which sucks.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway.
So tell me how the trophies work exactly.
They work just like PS3, but they don't count.
It's a separate thing. They count towards the Vita trophies. So when you look at the trophy list, you pick between whether you look at your Vita trophies or your PS3 trophies that are attached to that account.
Gotcha. So I can be level 14 in PS3 trophies and level 2 in PS Vita trophies?
No, it's the levels are the same.
So they all contribute to your level.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, now, can I jump on my PS3 right now and go look at your profile and see how many Vita trophies you have?
No, but you can do that on the Vita.
Okay.
when you bring up the trophies on the PS Vita, it shows you your Vita system, and then you can switch over to PlayStation Network. But on the PS3, you can't see.
Gotcha.
I don't even know that you can see people playing on their Vita on the PS3. I can see people playing on their PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go have a look, because I'm on mine at the moment. You can always check on your PS3 there, Drew.
I'm actually on my Vita right now looking at the trophies, and yeah, there's a switch between the two. If you go to your friends list, you can see, you know, all your Vita friends and your PS3 friends.
Cool.
So eventually I think there'll be more integration with that.
Oh, definitely. It's probably all going to be PS4, though.
Yeah, you get all your friend requests on both systems. I do know that. As I'm looking at it right now, and yeah, it shows me level 9 playing Ultimate Marvel Capcom 3 with a little picture of the Vita next to it. And I can see everybody online. Like, I can see somebody playing Final Fantasy 13 2, somebody playing Catherine, somebody playing Skyrim.
My only gripe with Vita so far has been that it locked up on me twice during the first day I had it. But, I mean, the problem is easily solved. You basically just hold in the power button for about 20 minutes. Not 20 minutes.
Christ.
Holy crap.
Holy shit, man.
20 minutes? What? No. You hold the power button for... On the internet, it says about 20 seconds, but I found that it actually resets right around, like, 15 seconds with me. And it gives you an option to reset the system, and you just reset it, and then it comes back on again. I mean, it's a minor inconvenience, but at the same time, I'm just like, what? Really? It's not like I had, like, five apps opened up at the same time or anything like that. I might have had, like, three apps running simultaneous, and the system's made for doing that. So I was just kind of like, there's some bugs in the system. So, I mean, granted, it's in terms of portable, it's super freaking ambitious. So, I mean, when you get something that is ambitious as the Vita, you know, when you think about it, I mean, it's like, you know, granted, they're not Apple, they're not Microsoft, they're not used to having such a advanced AI that does multitasking. It's practically its own operating, like, advanced computer operating system. And I mean, it's more advanced of a UI than pretty much any game system that I've ever encountered. Well, it's kind of approaching the like a 360 user interface, but 360 is Microsoft, and they're used to that type of level of programming. But yeah, it's what it does. It does really well. I'm actually right now. I'm on the Vita, and I'm looking at a NeoGAF website, and
you're gonna break your PSP doing that.
I only went to it because there's a Vita wallpaper. There's a Vita wallpaper thread, and there's a lot of really cool wallpapers that you can download. And
there is the customization of it is really good as well, isn't it? I mean, being able to change each of the screens as you see fit.
It needs
being
folders.
Able to move the icons about was pretty cool.
It needs folders.
Again, something that may come up in the future.
Yeah, definitely, because I've already filled up two screens full of games.
Well, you're just greedy.
No, because the freaking even the games that you you have on cartridge, it installs a little icon for them. Taking up all my real estate.
The only two Vita games I've played so far have been Marvel Capcom 3 and Wipeout. I do have Luminous or Luminens.
Luminous.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but I pretty much picked it up for my wife. She hasn't really started playing it yet because she pretty much spent like a whole hour messing around with the user interface and signing up for PlayStation Network. So it was like after that hour, she was kind of already gamed out because we really don't have that much time to spend with each other. She's been working 12-hour shifts. So it's like an hour is like about as much gameplay time that she would probably want. So sometime later on this week or next week, we'll probably both of us play some Luminous. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it. I kind of want her to play it for the first time, so I could just watch. But yeah, from what I've heard, Luminous is like one of the top tier games to get for Vita in terms of like gameplay. And
I played the demo. It looks bloody awesome.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it looks really good. I've heard from a couple of different sources that it is the best version of Luminous so far. So I mean, that's a pretty good account. So I'm looking forward to that. And sometime this week I might get another game, but I'm not totally for sure because I'm saving up for Mass Effect 3. Currently, now that the Vita's out, I'm saving it for Mass Effect. And I was also thinking about getting some kind of a case for my Vita or an armor. I don't know whether to go elegant looking or functionality, because the official, like, Sony, there's this one that folds up where it looks like a leather, kind of like a leather billfold kind of thing, and it looks pretty that. Nice.
Yeah,
oh, you got that?
I have it too. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
It's good for standing because it's meant to be sort of fun so that you can stand it up and watch Netflix on or whatever. But the pack I came with a felt sleeve as well, so you got the...
See, I was kind of debating between either that or go for the straight up, like the straight up functionality of like for accidental dropping, and that would be the Nerf armor, which flat out makes the Vita look like a toy when you put it on.
Yeah, isn't it orange or something?
Yeah, there's three colors: yellow, purple, and blue.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And they all three make your PS Vita look like a generic 5-year-old toy trying to imitate Tron.
That's cool, like, then. That means nobody else steal it.
Yeah, that's yours, isn't it? That's ideal for you.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess that would be ideal for me. And on top of that, it would be nice to have a some kind of a way to actually tell the difference between my Vita and my wife's Vita, so that we're not like, oh, you're on my gamer tag and all that stuff, you know. But, yeah, so far the only gripe I have about it is user apps are a little bit more convoluted than I wanted it to be, and the screen freezing up on me twice in the same day. That was a little bit irritating, even though it was a quick fix. Yeah, the web browser that I'm messing around with a little bit right now, pretty nice. I could actually see myself like reading forums more on the Vita than on my iPhone, because on my iPhone I'm always, you know, using multi-touch to zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out to read the full, like a full text post. With the Vita, I could read a whole post, and granted the letters are really, really small.
You can zoom in though.
But it's still doable, and you don't really have to zoom in and out as much, not nearly as much as I do on my iPhone. So I mean it's really nice. It's a 5-inch screen, which is pretty much about a half inch bigger than any cell phone on the market right now, because I think the Galaxy Nexus is like 4.5-inch screen. So this is an extra half inch, which every little bit helps.
And it's, hell yeah.
That's what she said.
It's the OLED screen, has extra functionality, but extra, you know, picture quality. Really nice. And like I said, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, it just pops, man. The colors, the animation. A part of that game is that it's running at a full 60 frames per second. So when you're playing it, you're just like, it not just looks great, but it animates great at the same time, and you're just like, wow, this is the portable system. This is truly, you know, the next level of portable gaming. And I take it, Ken, that so far from our conversation that this is probably the best portable system. I know that you especially dislike portable systems that have, you know, small screens where you have to like look real closely at things. So I take it with this, you know, with this 5-inch screen, that this portable system will be the system that you will be most likely ever play portable gaming with.
Oh, hell yeah. I've played the crap out of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really nice. And, I activated the Near thing, I think I saw about seven people playing within a few miles of me. I think it was like 5 miles. So, I mean, there's Vitas out there. I would like to see it be more successful than what the PSP did. If it's not, it's not going to hinder me that much. I mean, but I mean, the games that are already out is a really nice selection, nice variety of games.
There's something for everybody, and there's something good for everybody.
Yeah. And I've listened to a couple podcasts where the hosts are like, yeah, the games suck right now, and it's just like, I'm listening to them, and I'm like, what? Really? You know?
Anybody
best
who thinks,
launch lineup ever.
If anybody thinks this launch lineup sucks, they need to stop playing games.
Yeah, this is probably the third best launch lineup after Nintendo and Dreamcast. Like, I mean, between those two, this is probably the third best launch lineup of a system. I mean, it's really awesome. I mean, heck, day one, you have two fighting games, you know, and they're both really good. It's not like they're like a throwaway port or, you know, a side project. You can tell because I've watched videos of the Blaze Blue, and it's like it's just amazing. It's amazing that we have a system that now really, really feels like a console when you're playing it, and in many ways it almost feels like it's more advanced than its console counterpart, which is kind of weird. And I'm just like, okay, you know, it can do so much stuff. I can really see the Vita really coming out big time at this year's E3.
I hope they announce a ton of games for it.
Yeah, I hope they announce, you know, like everybody is making a Vita title. I hope they show off a ton of stuff. And I'm pretty sure at least half of their presentation, at least half, will be Vita based, since they've made the comment that they have no plans on talking about the next gen of console systems. I really think that Vita will probably take up at least half of their conference. Just like the 3DS will no doubt take up about at least half of the Nintendo conference.
Well,
better show off some Wii U if they want to fucking succeed. And it better wow some people.
It better do something.
Yeah. It better make breakfast.
It better be a waffle bot.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that'll help it.
But anyway, for more Vita stuff, we have a ton of coverage this week. Tons of coverage coming this week. So make sure you tune in for some more Vita stuff. But yeah, I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty damn happy with it.
No, yeah, I'm pleased with the purchase.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. I guess for anything else anybody's been playing, I just want to mention that I played a little bit of Syndicate. I talked to Drew about that earlier. I also beat Amalur.
Wow.
Oh, wow, well done.
How many hours?
It only took me 12 hours to beat the main quest.
Are you going to continue playing it?
Nope. Just like Skyrim, I'm done.
Really?
It's not that I don't enjoy the game. It was a fantastic game. I just have so much other stuff to move on to that I really wanted to beat the game itself. There's still a ton of content that I didn't even touch. I think the main quest is only 14 total quests. And I think I have like 27 side quests in my menu.
Did you do any of the faction stuff?
Nope, I did nothing but main quests.
Man, dude.
I'm not saying that it's not good. It's just, I play those games different than everybody else.
I know.
You know, I beat Skyrim and most people still have never even seen the ending.
I haven't.
But I'm trying to think, did I actually play anything else? No, everything else has been on my Vita. And I've played a ton on that. John, did you play anything else?
Yeah, I better give a quick shout out The only really thing, other thing I really played this week was King Arthur 2 for my review, which is now up on site. And I have to eat some humble pie because after getting into that game, it actually isn't bad. It's a mixture of like RPG because you get the ability to level up your units and yourself, just because that's the core of the game. But mixed in with it, some choose your own adventure stuff, and it really does cater for all levels of. From myself, never really played an RTS on a PC before, up to the, you know, the people who practically do it for a living. But it's just getting through the hump at the beginning, the long text dialogue bits, you know, take 20 minutes to half an hour. But once you're there, you've got your standard RTS style of game, but you've also got these choose your adventure things where you go to different towns and you get a story told to you of what's happened, and you make it what you want to do, and that can then play into future events. So it kind of, outcomes can be different. For example, there are these different families, and if you piss one of those families off, and then you need their help further on down the line, guess what? You can go suck it. So it's all about the politics, and not just tactics on the field, but tactics at home as well. So I have been slagging that game off the last couple of weeks, and to be fair, once you get into it, it's actually not that bad. Other than that, that's it. Well, no, there is nothing else, really. Just Vita stuff, so I played Asphalt and Uncharted.
And Jason, did you play anything besides your Vita?
Actually, no. I didn't get around to playing anything else this whole week. I really wanted to play the Binary Domain demo. I downloaded it, but I never had the time to actually play it, so I'll get around to
what
playing
that
this
game?
Week.
It's basically like iRobot with Gears of War gameplay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not bad.
I forgot I played the SSX demo.
Yeah, I did too. I forgot about that.
I played that as well. That never played an SSX game before. That game
either.
Is awesome.
Yeah, that game reminds me a lot of Tricky, and that's a good thing.
My girlfriend give me some real shit saying, how can you call yourself a gamer and never played an SSX game?
She's
and
right.
I said, well, I never played Tony Hawk's neither. It's
wow.
I know. But it is the demo is really, really good, and if that's anything to go by.
Well, it comes out Tuesday.
Yeah, well, girlfriend's a massive, massive fan of SSX, so she's already got that on pre-order. So I'm definitely going to be giving it a shot.
Oh, it's such a good game. That demo was incredible.
Yeah, that demo was great. It taught you everything you need to know.
Yep, I'm ready to play that game. I love SSX back in the day, and I have missed it so much.
I like how whenever you go in Tricky mode, it starts playing Run DMC.
Yeah, just like it did on Tricky. It's Tricky.
But,
no,
but now it's like dubstep.
Well, yeah, of course it is. That's whatever. It's techno. Shut up. Motherfucker. But that's. I think that's it. I think that wraps up the fondling. All right, so it's time now to do some news. Some news for the week. And I'll start right at the top. With Nintendo announcing Pokemon Black and White 2 for the DS.
Can't they think of any more colors?
For the DS.
Huh?
I don't know how this game is going to work out. Yeah, because so they did the DS, which I understand why they did the DS.
It makes perfect sense.
There's a million fucking DSs out there.
Yeah, and the game will work on the 3DS even if you have one, so.
Precisely. I think, I don't know what they're doing with Black and White Part 2.
I don't know.
It's the first time they've ever did a
direct sequel.
Two. Yeah, direct sequel instead of a new color. I don't know. I'm interested though. More than likely I'll pick it up.
Pokemon is like Call of Duty. A lot of people hate it. They keep rehashing a lot of the same stuff, but it's still really good.
Exactly.
So it just doesn't matter. If you like it, you're probably going to like it. So
there you go. That's exactly. You know what? I will admit that Pokemon is my Call of Duty.
it is what it is, and it sells a ton.
Yeah, it's a good RPG.
Well, there you go.
That's the truth.
I agree.
Sony is attempting something very unique and very cool. Killzone 3 multiplayer experiment.
That's fantastic.
So basically, you get to play the multiplayer for free. It's a free-to-play trial version. of the multiplayer, with an option to upgrade to the full version for a fee.
And how much is that fee?
Killzone 3's multiplayer can be purchased for $14.99.
That's a steal.
That's an interesting way to do it.
So there you go. That's apparently the free trial lets you play until you've reached the rank of sergeant, and then once that point is reached, then you can purchase it for $14.99.
That's like a third or fourth level.
And then also,
that's kind of low.
when you purchase it, you also get 24 hours of double XP, some free unlock points, and then access to the bot zone mode, and the ability to create both clans and custom games.
Now, did they say anything about the maps? Because there's new map packs and stuff, too. Is that stuff compatible?
It does not say.
Huh. Anyway, that's still awesome. Killzone 3 multiplayer is, man, just fantastic.
Sony has said that the UMD conversion program is not coming because of lack of demand.
Bull fucking shit.
Lack of can't be asked.
3DS has surpassed 5 million units in Japan. And there's a rumor. There's a rumor they're making a Seaman 3DS.
I don't think that's a rumor. I think that's true.
Is that even relevant?
I don't think so. But then again, is Jet Set Radio relevant?
It's like the Simpsons arcade game. Everybody has a fond memory of Jet Set Radio.
I sure as hell don't. I remember it controlling like ass.
I love Jet Set Radio.
I don't know. Like, everybody, I know it's in the news, but everybody on Twitter was talking about, oh, man, I'm so excited Jet Set Radio's coming. I'm like, there's this, if that many people is excited for a Dreamcast game, why the fuck isn't a Dreamcast a relevant system? Why did it fail the way it did?
Because most of those douchebags didn't buy one.
Well, then how do they have fond memories of the fucking...
They're probably thinking of the Xbox version.
That's Jet Grind Radio.
Either that or they have fond memories of 5 years later.
If you ever call Jet Set Radio Jet Grind Radio again, I will punch you. That's an offense. That's an offense.
Little bitch.
Whatever. That's an offense. That's what the Americans called it, and they added Rob Zombie, and they can suck it.
Whatever. Rob Zombie's cool.
No, he's not. Jet Set Radio. Jet Set Radio!
Stupid. It's stupid.
Fuck off, Pokemon.
That whole fucking game series is stupid.
You're stupid.
Yeah, let's play a game that controls like complete dog shit.
You need to go to hell. You need to go to hell and die.
I'll save a seat for you.
I'll bring a copy of Jet Set Radio.
You can go right ahead. I'll have my Jet Grind Radio.
Black Ops 2 gives Treyarch the chance to make their own Call of Duty. Black Ops proved that Treyarch could match Infinity Ward, but its sequel could pass it.
Oh, I bet. When are these games going to die? Whenever Pokemon dies, which is never.
Exactly.
Never. God, I hate it so bad.
Oh, well, really? I think, is that it?
It's been kind of a slow news week. I mean,
it's funny because the news feed I'm looking at doesn't even mention Jet Set Radio. This is a crap news feed.
Yeah.
Another little tidbit of news I picked up around the internet this week was the ESRB rated Darkstalkers 3 for the PlayStation 3 and the Vita.
I think Capcom's just going to decide we're just going to develop for the PS3.
Yeah,
it kind of sucks because, you know, all my fighting games are on the 360.
Well, how can you even think that, though? Because Dragon's Dogma?
That's not a fighting game, though.
Exclusive Resident Evil 6 demo?
Yeah, you got to throw those 360 owners a bone, haven't you?
Yeah, every now and then. Here you go.
They're just working both sides of the coin, aren't they?
Yeah. Why not? There's money to be had.
Exactly. We can fuck everybody over, not just PS3.
Oh, you and your hatred for Capcom.
Oh, fucking. I'm just so sick of them. So bad. You know what? Just so everybody can laugh at me, I'll probably pick up Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Oh, my God.
He's back down already.
Already. It wasn't even a year.
Nah, I mean, nah, I doubt I'll pick it up at launch, but I'll probably pick it up whenever it goes to price drop. I'm a goddamn fighting game player. What the hell am I supposed to do?
You're supposed
to play a fighting game?
Yeah, you're not supposed to boycott fighting games. Nobody's ever going to believe your boycotts again when you buy it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you shouldn't believe me anyway, but I don't know.
All right. We do have a question from RIP Skate Destroy. He says, "Hey, crew, first things first, thank you for recommending Kingdoms of Amalur, The Darkness 2, and Kingdoms of Amalur."
That's what we do.
I'm just curious why you mentioned Kingdoms of Amalur twice.
I think it was a period after the first Kingdoms of Amalur.
He says, "It's all right. Actually, they were both damn good. Was the two games that brought me back into loving games once again. So good. So I'm back."
Welcome back.
Welcome back, bitches. Oh, he says, "And as you read this, I may already have made up my mind as to if I should get a Vita or not. Since I'm guessing this episode was heavy on the Vita side."
just a
little bit. "I put off buying one until I heard your guys' opinions, but if you haven't answered these questions during the podcast, my questions are, should I get a Vita now or wait until the price drops?"
Wait until the price drops.
Hell no.
Get it now.
Get it now.
Think about it. Awesome. Think about it. Think about it. What are you missing out besides, oh, I'm getting to play my Vita right now? If you get a price drop, you're paying less for it, plus there's going to be plenty of games to play.
There's already plenty of games to play.
Yeah, but there'll be even more. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how successful the Vita is. In 5 months from now, it's going to be lowered in price.
If you want to wait 5 months to play it.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm enjoying Syndicate right now. And I'm pretty sure I'll enjoy Mass Effect 3 next month.
I think it's more than worth the price right now. That's just me, though.
I agree.
I think there's the possibility that it might drop in 6 months. But, it's not going to be the dramatic drop that Nintendo did. It'll probably come down maybe about $30, maybe. Maybe if it's really dramatic, it might drop 50, but that would be the best case scenario.
We'll find out.
We will. He says, "I could get a lot of review games in the following weeks if I decide to get one right now, but do you think the launch games are worth the current price of the Vita?" Hell yeah, I do.
I think there's a crap ton of them, sure.
I think a lot of them are really good.
Oh yeah. There's a few you should avoid, but there are.
That's always the case.
Yeah, but I mean, as I say, I've only played a handful, but between us, we've played a fair few, and Assault's a bit more ass than full. Uncharted, Hotshots, Ridge Racer's probably good, that's the UK only, and then you've got Marvel vs. Capcom. There's so much. I played the demo, that's really good on the device. There's loads you can be playing with, and fuck it, push the boat out. Get it, go on.
Everybody should buy Tales from Space. Right now. $8. $8.
I might do that. Didn't you say you had trouble with a PSN card?
Yes, that ended up being GameStop's fault, not mine.
Really?
They didn't scan it.
Yeah, they didn't scan it, so that's why it didn't work.
Yeah, that happened to me.
Okay, So is there a place in the store, because I couldn't find one where you can put in a code for
Dude, like, when you boot up the app, if you look up at the top, the three choices, one of them is redeem code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everything at your fingertips, literally.
Sweet.
And his final part of the question is, you are allowed to take one game, bring it back to make a sequel. What game and who will be developing it?
Hard.
You gonna make me say it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and say it.
Killer Instinct by NetherRealm Studios.
Yeah. You want it 3D or 2D?
No, I want it like Mortal Kombat, 2D in a 3D world.
Okay. Killer Instinct Gold was
They were all 2D.
3D. No, oh, they were all 2D?
They were all 2D with 3D backgrounds.
Gotcha, okay. Oh, man, that's hard. You know, I was really excited for that rumor Rocksteady was doing a TMNT game.
Yeah, that would have been hot shit.
That would have been fucking awesome. I still want that.
I guess the game is still being made, just not by Rocksteady.
It's not being made by Rocksteady. It's made by somebody from Activision.
Yeah, which I'm sure the game will still be good, but it won't be dark.
It won't be dark. It's going to be like a cartoon television show, and it's probably a beat 'em up. I want to... God, that would have been so fucking awesome. Four-player co-op. I got Donatello because he's got the reach.
Yeah.
You're calling stuff for a game that doesn't exist.
I don't care. Donatello will always be my turtle.
I want you to be my turtle. You got to get with my shell.
The fuck? Seriously?
I don't know. As far as a sequel, jeez.
You can't say anything, John. Your country spawned the Spice Girls.
That's my fault.
We blame Canada for. We blame Canada for Bryan Adams. I can blame Britain for the fucking Spice Girls.
Wow, that's a hard question. I really don't know. As far as I really wish Mega Man Legends 3 would have happened.
Just made by Capcom or somebody in particular?
Well, I mean, Inafune, if they would have kept him and had him do it, I'm pretty sure he could make a decent game.
I wanted that Mega Man World game universe.
Yeah. Were you Mega Man?
That's what I wanted. That game was going to be epic.
I'd like to see probably a Chrono Trigger sequel.
By who?
Square Enix.
What about Level 5?
What about Level 5?
Making Chrono Trigger sequel.
What was the rumor? They were going to have a Chrono Break? Was that what the game was called?
Yeah. The third one was rumored to be called Chrono Break.
Hasn't there been like a million rumors about the Chrono series that never manifest?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think Square could do a decent job. Square Enix. I mean, I personally like Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2. And, you know, you get a really good story going for a time traveling, which basically 13-2 is basically almost like Chrono Trigger. You're doing a lot of time traveling. You're changing the past and changing the future.
Life finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think would be cool? Final Fantasy 15 done by BioWare.
I've been saying that for years. I want to see a very, very loved Japanese RPG made by a Western developer, and I want to see a Western RPG made by a very, very Japanese developer. I want to see Square Enix make Mass Effect.
Well, isn't...
That'd be sweet.
Capcom kind of doing that with Dragon's Dogma? Aren't they trying to kind of do the Western RPG?
Are they? Who's making Dragon's Dogma?
It's Capcom.
I know, but I mean, who's developing it? Capcom?
Well, I think it's a Capcom internal. I don't know.
I thought they were... Well, you know, they bring in a lot of people from Western stuff because, you know, they Dead Rising. You know, that was all, was it Blue Castle?
Blue Castle, yeah.
Those dudes are branching out, man. That's going to be... Seriously, I think Capcom will eventually become as big as EA and fucking Activision.
Probably.
They're getting huge.
They're swallowing up a lot of developers. I know they got... what's their name? Doing Devil May Cry.
The Ninja Theory.
Yeah, Ninja Theory.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of interesting. You know, I show that I hate Capcom. I don't like their business. But, I mean, they still make great games. I'm not down that.
Yeah.
Wow. As far as sequel goes, yeah. The biggest sequel I'd love to see is probably a Chrono Trigger. Maybe, you know what? If we can ever finally get it, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Here's a crazy one. Crackdown 3. Made by the guy.
But make it good, maybe?
Make it by the guys that did Just Cause 2.
Who did Just Cause 2?
Oh, what's the name of that company? Fuck. Avalanche.
Same people who did Avalanche, wasn't it?
Yeah, Avalanche. I'd do that.
How about Just Urban Chaos? Nice. I want a sequel to Urban Chaos Riot Response by Rocksteady. Fuck it. They made the first one. Why can't they make the second one?
Because there's no need to make the second one.
But it's awesome. Come on. That game was awesome.
Yeah, but nobody played it.
It doesn't matter. You could taser a guy till he burst into flames.
You could do that on Siphon Filter.
Yeah, but I didn't like Siphon Filter.
I love Siphon Filter.
I hated the way he moved.
Well, he did look kind of funny when he ran.
He could like totally do like a 180 with his upper body, but his lower body still running backwards.
Yeah, that's how real people run.
That's how Logan ran.
Anyway, he says, anyway, that's all I had. Thanks again for another great podcast. Keep pumping them out, guys. Can't wait till episode 1000.
I'll be dead by that point.
It's going to be epic.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be something, all right? Damn, do you realize how long it would take us to get to 1,000? What's that, another 7 years?
I don't even think that, dude. We're only on 200 and something.
I'll be like, well, if you figure it's a lot more than that. There's probably roughly 45 episodes a year. I'll be
probably 15 years from now, 15, 16.
I'll be damn near 50.
I'll be in my late 30s.
What?
Bitch.
No, I'll be in the early 40s.
I was going to say, dude, you ain't like 20.
Yeah, I wish I was. I'm about to be 27 this year.
My son will be graduating from high school.
I guess we can always bring him in.
Like, you want to do the show? You know he's not going to be into video games, because I am. He'll be like, what are you talking about, Dad?
Yeah, he's going to be a jock. He's going to be beating up the nerds at school.
He'll be like, this is stupid stuff, Dad. We'll play no video games. All right. So let me head over to the Twitter. We got Shotcaller. Says, played the Mass Effect demo. Big ups to DICE for doing the weapons in the game. Every one of them sound great.
Seriously? DICE really did the...
the weapon sounds, I guess?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Kind of insane, yeah.
Hey, you know, if you have access to that many developers, man, let them do what they know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boomstick84 says, hey, Gambus Khan, thanks for the follow. Looking forward to hearing you guys on this week's episode. Bagark.
Thank you.
You're lucky you got him to follow you. Most of the time he sort of just waves away us mere mortals. He had to clear room out on his friends list on his PS3 because he's busted it out to add me on his Vita.
Yeah. Shanghai 6 says, Drago!
Yeah.
Shanghai 6 also says, hey, Gambus Khan. Say it with me. Front Towards Gamer Radio. Not the Front Towards Gamer podcast or Front Towards Gamer audio thingy.
Front Towards Gamer Radio.
Radio.
That's deep.
Mookie's Groove says, after listening to this week's podcast, I feel all pumped for a Rocky marathon.
I actually looked on Netflix this week. You lying bastard. They've got all of them but Rocky 1.
Oh, do they not have the first one? I've been watching them backwards. Sorry.
No, they don't have the... gutted. I thought, I haven't watched Rocky in about 10 years. I'll give that a shot. Rocky 2. No, thank you. I want the first one.
You still need to watch the rest of them. They're all good. Except for 5.
Well, yeah.
We don't talk about 5.
Black sheep of the family.
Mookie's Groove also says, what? Front Towards Gamer crew owned Gambus Khan on Hero Academy. I wonder if there'll be a match against the N4G podcast crew.
Probably not, because I don't have an iPhone.
Yeah, I don't. They're not going to play against me, because I don't play the game. But, yeah, Gambus, you represented us poorly.
I did.
You better get yourself a montage, a Rocky montage, and train and go back and beat him.
I need to do that. So what song would be my montage?
Your montage?
Yeah.
Damn.
Power of the Glow.
How about
I like that.
How about Nothing's Gonna Stop Us from the Transformer soundtrack?
Sweet.
That's what I'm going to go for.
Like a Twisted Sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're not going to take it. That'll be the one.
I don't know that I can handle that one. That's what I need. I'm trying to find the song for Gambus's. He could just do this one.
Oh yeah!
I figured that would be the one you were gonna play.
Either that or "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey.
That works too.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll be my montage right there.
Yeah, Gambus has a touch. Nice.
Hey, it works, right?
It does indeed.
So there you go. That's your goal, Jason.
Okay.
Mega Monkey says, when a crappy sequel comes out for a game you love, does it take away from your memory of the first or add to the nostalgia?
Trying to think of that situation.
Get kind of, oh, I don't know. It's a bit of like with films. I always hate it when they bring out sequels to films that they have no right in doing so. And that, to me, is kind of the values of the original. Matrix, The Crow, films that are quality films that should have been left well alone. But with games, it's slightly different because it's an interactive experience. So I don't know, it kind of changes the way you feel about it. You kind of maybe appreciate the original more. I probably would.
I don't know. I just ignore the sequel like I do with movies. I use the "it didn't exist" defense.
Is there ever a situation, whether it be games or film, where the sequel was better than the first?
Oh yeah, look at Terminator 2. That's the Terminator 2 syndrome.
Terminator 2.
I don't agree with that. I love Terminator 1 more than Terminator 2.
What about Aliens?
Aliens. That was the next one I was about to say.
Two different films.
But it's still a sequel.
Two very different films. They're very different.
It's still the sequel.
I like them both equally for different reasons.
Well, you're weird.
Yep.
I'm not a big fan of Aliens, first off.
Oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm sorry, I just don't like Alien or Aliens.
Unless you stick the word "illegal" in front of them.
Yeah. I don't know, fuck.
Oh my god. I swear to god, I gotta get rid of this phone.
What's wrong with your phone?
My phone is just a piece of crap. It keeps crashing.
What is it?
It's a Droid.
I know, but I mean, is it an actual droid or is it?
Yeah, it's a Droid 2.
Oh. Well, just don't get a Samsung Captivate.
I think I'm just going to bite the bullet, buy an iPhone.
I was going to do that, and then I spent my money on my fucking PC.
I'm just going to finally bite the bullet and stop buying anything but an iPhone.
Then you can join up with me in Hero Academy.
No, I can't. My phone is used for what it's called. A telephone.
In which case, you might as well just get the crappiest piece of shit you can, and that'll be done with it.
No, because I run all my website through the phone when I'm not at the computer.
Do you really? Wow, okay.
Yeah. How do you think you guys get emails when I'm driving home from work?
You're emailing while you're driving. Well, you're such an idiot.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not actually typing any words, jackass.
Oh, he's saying them. That's why you articulate so much. I am going to be on the podcast today. I type like I talk. I'm going to be on podcast.
See, I'm gonna get Siri and I'm gonna train her to email John news releases.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Mega Monkeys also says, out of curiosity, who writes the episode descriptions?
You do.
That would be me. Sometimes I'm a little more on than I am off. Sometimes.
I suppose it depends on the content of the podcast, whether you can pull on a running joke or something.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes on Monday morning to remember what we talked about that was funny. Unless it's like last week where it's just like, okay. This is going to be a Rocky theme.
I try doing that whenever we do the tweets and stuff.
You know,
when we post stuff.
You're going to need a montage.
Yeah.
Even Rocky had a montage.
I'm trying to think of some funny ones I did, but I can't think of any. I guess I'm not funny.
Clearly.
Lieutenant Renji says, What's your favorite swear word?
I'm not allowed to say that. I got in trouble last time.
They said, he says mine should be Volvo.
Doesn't that make a car?
That's Volvo.
Volvo.
There's a huge difference between Volvo and Volvo, John. Maybe you should Google it.
My favorite curse word, probably motherfuck.
What? Without the er on the end?
Yeah. Well, I mean, derivatives. So, I use motherfuck as an exclamation, as well as calling somebody a motherfucker. Like, I know, Ken, you've heard it before, but, like, if I get pissed off, this is my favorite bread and butter phrase to say. Son of a motherfucking bitch. So.
I'm interested to know what Jason's favorite swear word is.
My favorite swear word is, fudgesicle up the butt.
That's pretty good.
And there you have your show description. Well done.
Fudgesicle up the butt. I don't know if I should put that on there because we might get banned from somewhere.
Yeah, that's pretty racy.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, if I close the door on my finger or something, I'll actually say something like that.
Dude, I would love to be a fly on the wall. When you slam your door in a finger.
Thoughts are off the butt!
I'm glad nobody called me out on my slip of a words there.
But, well, you know, the funny thing is, I think I was the person that actually convinced you to curse for the first time on the podcast. Do you remember that a long time ago, whenever I was just a listener?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Led him down the path of evil.
I know.
Yes.
Way to go.
The path of evil.
I like flying fuck, too.
I like Poon Handler.
Poon Handler?
That's an interesting one.
What about Pussy Fart?
Oh, no. That sounds wrong.
That's just Queef.
You the Queef sisters?
Damn, what is... I gotta think of a good one. I just, you know, come on. Fuck's a, you know.
Is it the king word?
That's the king word. Yeah, I mean, that's one everybody knows and uses.
That's the ace in the deck of profanity.
Yeah. I don't know. I used to... Wow, what is something I used to call people? I can't remember. Shit, I don't know. Ah, well, I like saying fuck.
That's obvious.
I always have.
He says he looks forward to our answer. I hope it was better than it sounded.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still not going to say my favorite.
Can you tell me what letter it starts with?
Oh, C.
C.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not used. I don't go out and call people that, but when used with other words, it can be quite funny and inventive.
That's a pretty big British thing, isn't it?
No, this, again, I think I've said this on the podcast before, because Americans seem to believe that we use that word like you would use the word buddy or pal. We do not. It is as seriously as bad as it is over here. So people tend to frown upon that word quite quite deeply.
Huh. Anyway.
I don't know, I just hear a lot more British people say that word than American people.
In a lot of British movies, or gangster movies, you often hear that word, but then that's because they're gangster.
Yeah. Gangsters over here just like to say motherfucker.
Yeah.
In other words that we can't say. Anyway.
Yeah.
Che Morongo says he got Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom for $4.85 on Amazon. That's the price.
That's a steal.
No coupons or credit.
That's a steal.
Yeah.
That game is actually really good. You get lost easy, though.
That's one game I want to pick up once I do eventually finish Knight's Contracts, because if I'm right, they're the same developer.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I think they're a lot alike, too.
They also did...
I like Knight's Contract. It's quite good. I just need to... get back to it, which is going to be unlikely while I've got a Vita in my hands.
They also said they also did Folklore.
Oh, did they really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't like that at all because that was a launch PS3 title, wasn't it?
No, their launch.
Oh, no, it was launch. It was after.
It was early. It was early PS3 title.
They did do a launch PS3 game. It was Genji.
Oh God, that was dog shit.
Yep.
Genji, was that the one with
the giant crab?
Crab? Yeah, the giant enemy crab.
The historical, the historical references to how accurate it was, because that's what they had in feudal Japan. Giant crabs.
Hit it on its stomach for massive damage.
Mookie's Groove has sent us a video that's a little long to play, but it's the Al Pacino inspirational speech. It's like 5 minutes.
Inspirational speech from what?
Any Given Sunday.
Oh.
Never seen that, but then it's an American football film, so why should I?
Yeah, okay. Because American football rocks.
Mm-hmm.
There have been dicks in that.
What?
Wasn't there, like, a scene where you could see men's dicks in it?
You would be the only person who would remember that.
No, I remember there was controversy about it.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
Mookie's Groove also says Mass Effect 3 demo was awesome, and the multiplayer will not disappoint us. He's already bought the collector's edition.
I haven't yet. No, I've not played the multiplayer either.
I refuse to download the demo.
Oh my God, it's not spoilers or anything like that.
I don't care. I prefer my first experience with the game to be the final version.
Because
it's only a fucking week away.
I know that, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I just... Yeah, you like NeoGAF, don't you?
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Because they're the elitist people who... I know, I'm not going to spoil myself.
Whatever. Your car says, because you guys couldn't decide the order of the human centipede, let's just go with oldest to youngest.
Great.
Oh, yes! I'm in the front, bad boys.
Except for the fact that John is excluded from the centipede.
No!
Did he say that, really?
No, I said that.
Oh, you said, well, you can't do that.
I just did it. And he said, the first guy must eat a burrito with wasabi and chocolate laxative pieces.
Oh!
You guys are so unlucky.
Well, at least nobody was sucking my ass.
I don't know, is K-Dub the youngest?
No,
he's 30.
Is he really? He's still at school, isn't he?
He's in college.
College.
Nice.
Some of us don't go to college until we're old.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, 26. I'm the youngest, yay.
But you still gotta eat ass.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's better than nothing, I guess.
DJ Mitsuhara says, Vita, blah, blah, Vita, blah, blah. Oh my God, that screen. Did Ryan get his Vita sorted out by Amazon? Yes, he did.
That was unlucky.
Yes, he did get his new system on Friday, I believe. He says, looking forward to the show. Game on. And I got a ton more. Damn. Key134 says, got my Dark Souls Platinum. Sometimes I just like a game that much.
Oh, fucking hell. What, he sold his soul to the devil or something? Can you get...
That's nuts. That's crazy.
He should get a medal or something sent to him from Atlas for doing that.
Atlas didn't do anything of that.
Didn't I thought they were Dark Souls?
Demon Souls? They did Demon Souls, I think.
Thought that was the same developer, my bad.
No, From Software is the same developer, but they...
Oh, From Software, that was it. Yes.
They were published by two different people. Namco Bandai did Dark Souls.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, he should get a medal either fucking way for doing that. It should be something he should get.
He also says, how's that podcast you've been working on? You know, that one you've been working on for about an hour. Got a Gambus Con. Got some compelling fondling. Got some good news. Good. I look forward to listening to it.
No, not much.
That was the Stewie reference, I believe. Where he's talking to Brian about his book.
Yes.
Compelling protagonist. Friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. Squiffy version 2 says, hope the show's a good one. More Windows Phone 7 game reviews, please.
Does anybody have one?
I think John does.
Mm, I do. But we don't really get codes for them, and to be fair, it's they're like iPhone games. You can't give them the sort of time of day that they need.
But don't they have achievements?
They do.
Oh, goody.
Well, you're not into achievements anymore.
No, I know. So what? I was just making a point.
Okay, all right. Sit down, boy.
Okay. This next listener, apparently we butchered his name. He says, my name is pronounced Jamie R. Poirier. You butchered it last time. Not that I'd expect anyone not to. Anyway, have fun.
Okay.
Neospawn says, okay, Vita owners, name two things you would fix, improve, or add to the Vita. I want more feature-based minigames like Welcome Park.
Better camera would have been nice.
Yeah, that's
that would have been cool. I mean, I think what is it—a 2-megapixel camera on the back? I'm not
something
quite
like
sure,
that. It's pretty good.
I mean, considering they knock out phones left, right, and center with really good cameras on, putting a slightly better lens in there would have been better. Give it a little bit more of a beef, but I can't think of anything else. The two thumbsticks are fantastic. They work really well.
I want folders.
Well, there you go. That's again something they can bring in at some point.
And I want Angry Birds to work, because apparently it's not on the mini store yet.
Yeah, but you only want that if it comes with achievements.
No, I just want to play the damn game. I've beat the crap out of it on my phone. So,
do you guys think that it really needs a touchscreen?
I like the touchscreen.
I don't like the fact. Really well. I don't like the fact that I have to touch it with my fingers. I hate that so bad.
What, you're going to use a dick?
No. Like, with the DS, I can use a stylus. I just don't like touching it because I hate getting freaking fingerprints all over it and shit.
Well, get a screen protector. I mean, I hate the stylus for the fact that you have to keep... Not all games use it all the time. So you have to keep putting it back in the little hole for it. I think it's ridiculous. The touchscreen works really, really well.
Yeah, I prefer it over a stylus. I don't like getting fingerprints all over my screen, but I keep one of those little wipes with me so I can just wipe it off.
I got a screen protector on mine.
I don't want no screen protector breaking up my awesome screen.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of irks me. And, you know, some games, like I was playing the Wipeout demo where they had touchscreen stuff in it, and I was like, I'm hitting start and shit like that, and nothing's happened. I was like, oh, you got to touch the screen. I'm like, see, it's just becoming convoluted.
You get used to it. Blue Apple Blue says, who are you nominating for the Sackies 2012?
What the hell are the Sackies?
I don't know.
I nominate myself.
Okay.
There you go.
Can you do that?
What if it's for something not so cool? Do you still want to nominate yourself?
Why not?
Best visuals and special effects.
That's what the Sackies are.
Wait, that's just the first thing that popped up. Name for a Sackie. I don't know. I guess it's like Creation Awards or something? I can't really tell. Little Big Planet won a lot of Sackie Awards.
I guess that's why it's called the Sackie.
Sack Boy.
I guess that's the Sack.
Back cracking sack.
I guess that's a Little Big Planet thing. So I haven't played that game in like 2 years, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've played it once and didn't care for it.
He also says, what other gaming podcast would you recommend to me? That's all Gambas, because I don't really listen to any other ones anymore, just because I don't have time. I would definitely recommend Front Toward Gamer Radio.
Of course.
Yes.
And
Red Sun Gamer.
Yeah.
Because they rock the house.
People who are not, do you want me to mention podcasts that are not necessarily affiliated with us or friends with us?
Well, who would you like to mention?
I do listen to Giant Bombcast.
I like the guys at Giant Bomb. It's just hard for me to listen to that show sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
same here.
I really like those guys. I think they're one of the few sites left that actually plays games because they like playing games. But That show sometimes is hard for me to listen to, even though I like almost every guy on it.
99 Lives Radio. I actually enjoy their conversations that they have. It's hosted by Sadoom and his buddy Nick.
Listen to you plugging that already.
Yeah. I listen to it. I mean, I got 8 hours to kill at work. Why not?
Well, there you go. Gambus, do you have any other ones you would like to mention? Because, like I said, I don't listen to any unless I listen to Front Towards Gamer or Red Sun when I have time.
Those are the main ones I listen to. Also mention, of course, the All Gen Gamers podcast, which is really good, too. They talk a lot about retro games, but they talk a lot about modern games as well. And a podcast that I just recently discovered that I absolutely love is the Legacy Music Hour. Each episode, basically what the podcast is basically these two dudes critiquing video game music. And it usually lasts over an hour per episode, and they're all the way up to, like, episode, like, 60-something. So, I mean, they've covered a lot of gaming music, and I think I'm, like, on episode 5 right now. But each episode is, like, a theme. Like, the first episode was they wanted to do, they were trying to discover what their theme of their show was, which was kind of silly. But then episode 2 was like abstract and like bizarre video game music, and that was really cool. And they actually cover specifically 8-bit and 16-bit era music. So basically all the music that you hear in each episode is basically from either the 80s or like the first half of the 90s. And I just got done listening to an episode where it was all Square or Squaresoft music. And both of the hosts actually admitted that they're not really into RPGs. But they also admit that, like, RPG genre has, like, a ton of great music. And it was, like, a whole hour and some of them talking about Squaresoft music. And it's really good because they actually play the whole musical tune, like a whole loop of it, and then they kind of critique it as in like, oh, I really like the bass part that is introduced in this, and then they critique it and they even talk about like classical stuff, like it reminds me of like a Chopin or something like that, and it's a really cool show, and again, the podcast is called The Legacy Music Hour, and yeah, that's a good one.
The Legacy Music Hour.
Yep.
There you go.
Awesome. And finally, he says, "What's your favorite 80s and 90s TV shows and cartoons?"
Wow.
You want Knight to run Rider. On, I love Knight Rider.
On pure nostalgia, or are you talking about like a show that I can watch nowadays?
I don't know. You always ask me for descriptions of these questions, and it's not like I have them.
Well, there's differences. See. I mean, I loved fucking Power Rangers when I was a kid, but I'm pretty sure I couldn't go back and watch it now.
I can. I don't know what they said about me, but yeah, I could.
Batman the Animated Series. I can watch that now, and I can watch it back then, too.
It's because it's awesome.
Those are timeless.
Yeah. Batman the Animated Series is awesome.
I can still watch Transformers.
I've never watched an episode.
I can still watch Transformers as well.
And Ghostbusters?
The movies or the show?
Movies. I think Extreme Ghostbusters. The show, it was... came on in the mid-90s. I watched it. It was a lot darker than the Ghostbusters cartoon and stuff like that. And it was basically like after... Like, Egon was the only Ghostbuster left, and he had a bunch of college students that he taught paranormal stuff to, and they became the Ghostbusters. It was actually really good.
Interesting.
It was made by the same people. It was very extreme. I think it was made by the same creators of the Men in Black cartoon, which was also really cool. All those the strange shows happened in like the mid-90s to the late-90s, where it was like cartoons, but they're geared more toward like teenagers, where it was a little bit more darker. Men in Black was great.
I tell you what was probably one of my favorite late 80s live action shows, and this is a show that a lot of people don't even remember. It's Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
I remember that because you had the figures that could interact with the TV show, right?
Yep. I was obsessed with that show back then. As a matter of fact, for Christmas, I actually used some Amazon money, and actually one of the many items I purchased, I ordered the Captain Power on a DVD, the whole series. It's actually kind of rare. I couldn't even find it in stores, so I actually had to order it.
I was a big fan of The Greatest American Hero whenever I was a little kid.
That was a pretty funny show.
I'm walking on air. Never thought I could be so free.
Greatest American Hero. Why do I know that name?
Because it's memorable for being crappy.
It's theme song, basically. But no, you know, the premise was this guy who was a high school teacher, he gets visited by aliens. They give him this special suit that gives him superpowers. And he loses the instruction manual to it, so he doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, and the flying scenes are hilarious because he's always like flying crooked and upside down and everything, and he usually has to crash land in order to stop himself.
Wasn't that William Kent?
Kind of a blonde headed dude with frilly hair.
Frilly hair, yeah. Was in what's his name? That lawyer. He was also in that lawyer TV program with the guy in the wheelchair, Mason.
Harry Mason. Mason.
There you go. He was in that as well.
Hmm.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, and the Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. I always loved that show.
Bruce Campbell.
You can't go wrong with Bruce Campbell.
I mean, movies. Hey, Evil Dead. I can still watch that to this day. It's fucking hilarious. That movie's hilarious.
Aren't they remaking that?
Yes, they are, and it's going to be fucking horrible.
Oh, God.
What, Evil Dead? No, yes, they're remaking The Evil Dead. Guess what? Ash is going to be a woman this time.
No.
And it's all about Ash and a group of girls go out to the cabin in the woods for an intervention because they're all drug addicts.
Wow. That and sounds then, like the worst idea ever.
And then the bad stuff starts happening. I can't believe they're actually doing that.
And I bet it won't be nearly as scary as the original one.
I doubt they're going to even try to do it comedy, though.
Well, the thing is, The Evil Dead is not a comedy.
Come on.
No, Evil Dead 2 was the comedy.
It wasn't supposed to be a comedy. It doesn't mean it wasn't.
Well, the original one was a straight-up horror movie.
Supposed to be.
And then Evil Dead 2 was a remake of Evil Dead 1, but it was funny on purpose.
Yeah, the first one was funny on accident.
And then Army of Darkness.
I didn't think so.
The funniest thing is, I think Army of Darkness is the funniest one of them all.
Oh, yeah, that one was definitely funny on purpose. And that was a great movie, too, in its own right.
Indubitably.
We're trying to get nostalgia stuff here, because, wow. Ken, you got anything? I mean, you haven't talked much, except Transformers.
I really don't know. I can still watch the Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles? You mean like the movies or the...
Both.
The show, really? That show's kind of rough.
Yeah, I still enjoy it. I can't watch He-Man anymore. I tried.
Thing is, I can still watch He-Man.
There's something wrong with you.
I really enjoy the music in that show. And I mean, granted, the plots are real simplistic and real silly and everything, but the show just feels really, really dark. like the type of dark that no other show really like goes into nowadays. And as a matter of fact, one of the early writers for the show, crap, I can't even remember his name right now, but he also went on to do. He's kind of a sci-fi fan favorite. J. Michael Susquincy. That's his name, even though I butchered his last name. J. Michael, yeah, he wrote a lot of the episodes of He-Man, and then he went on to, coincidental enough, he also wrote Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. And then he went on to doing Babylon 5, the TV series, and then after that, he became a comic book writer, and he did a lot of modern Marvel comics. Evidently, he influenced a lot of the modern day take on Iron Man. So he's kind of known as being like a big time sci-fi writer.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And He-Man was like his like first gig. So kind of interesting.
Wow. Kind of hard to think of.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I was a Ninja Turtle guy, and I was a Power Ranger guy as a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm trying to think of like live action stuff, but I kind of like Quantum Leap.
Oh, I love Quantum Leap.
Hopefully, this will be the leap home.
You know, they ended that show horribly.
They end most shows horribly because they don't know they're going to have to end them.
Yeah. I don't know. As far as like few, it's like stuff like nowadays that I love. I mean, I was a fucking fanatic of Lost.
Wasn't everybody?
No, there's a lot of people who hate it just because they want to jump on the bandwagon of hating it.
Fuck that! That's the best show on television ever.
Yeah,
I don't Lost. I just never watched it all. I did. Now I got Netflix.
Is anybody watching Fringe?
I watched the first two seasons of Fringe.
Been watching all of it.
Me and my wife, we've been watching it. We're caught all the way up. We watch every new episode that comes out. We love it. We absolutely love it.
I like it. I like the concept of it. It's kind of like X-Files, but scientific supernatural stuff.
The first couple episodes are kind of that way, but like season 3 and season 4. You cannot make a X-Files comparison. Once you get to the multiverse war, it almost seems more like a DC comic book storyline than like the X-Files. But yeah, the X-Files parallel was very, very,
season was a lot like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Warehouse 13. I think that show's pretty cool. I just recently started watching Breaking Bad. That show's depressing.
Everybody says Breaking Bad's really good, but
it's very good, but holy shit. That show's depressing. It's just like, you want to see how to fuck up your life? Do what they do. You know, my favorite show on television is Walking Dead. I don't think there's a better show out there right now.
That's pretty good.
I love that show.
We watch it every week.
I was going to watch it tonight, but unfortunately I have to go to work.
Well, we don't watch it on television because we don't have cable.
Yeah, I don't either. So I had to go to my dad's house.
So we still need to watch last week's because my wife was out of town, so I still haven't seen last week's. All right, one last question. Have a kick-ass show, guys. This is from Freaker UK. Have a kick-ass show, guys. What are your gaming guilty pleasures, and which would you love to see a reboot of? Bionic Commando for the win.
Oh, God, no. They tried that.
And it was good.
I liked Bionic Commando.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, whatever. I like that game.
You know what I want to see? A decent Alpha Protocol. If they get, God, I don't know why they couldn't just make a decent, give it to BioWare for Christ's sake, just let them do it.
They're too busy making Dragon Age and Mass Effect.
I know.
I'll tell you what I want a remake of, and this might sound a little bit bizarre, and a little bit, well, way too soon. But I'm kind of thinking, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road from now, I want to see a complete remake of the Mass Effect trilogy. Using, yes, yes, I know it's too soon.
Michael Bay in it.
A remake of the Mass Effect trilogy with the next-gen game consoles. And I want the graphics to approach the level of the Final Fantasy Spirits Within movie, where it looks almost photorealistic.
Well, you're not going to get that for a while, to be fair.
Well, I mean, yeah, 5 years from now would be actually kind of too soon for that. But maybe in a decade from now it might rework. I mean, think about it. 10 years ago, the stuff that's, you know, real time now is like close to a lot of the CG that was going on back then. So I figured that maybe 5 to 10 years from now, it might be. And the thing is, when they do the remake, I'd want all three games to have the same like gameplay, so it'd be streamlined through all three games, and not to where it would have the real loose, you know, cattywampus gameplay of the original, which is still a great game, you know, mind you, but have all three games play exactly the same. Like a straight up remake, you know, from the ground up, but basically use the original trilogy as the template, you know, to go by. But then they could also like have other missions, different missions, but still have the same storyline, to where the storyline is still relevant, but also have maybe, you know, side things like, or maybe introduce a couple new characters and, you know, have other things going on at the same time that the main Shepard storyline is going on. Stuff like that. I think that would be really awesome if, you know, a game like that could have like the visuals of like an almost photorealistic CGI in real time. That'd be sweet. That'd be like the ultimate remake, in my opinion.
Ultimate.
Yeah.
I mean, do I want to do the cop-out? The thing that I hate hearing the most.
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII. Fuck it. Remake it. I want it full voice acted. I want it using the same engine as Final Fantasy XIII. You know, keep the combat the same. Keep the story about the same.
You know, I mean, yeah, if they did a Final Fantasy VII that looked like XIII, like in terms of visuals, man, that would be a seller. That would definitely be a seller.
I'm all about the PsyOps.
You want to remake a PsyOps?
God, yeah, I love that game.
Let's see. You know, I mean, this is me being lame, but I'm always lame. So, you know what I'd like to see is a full-on, if they could ever go into, like, join us in the 21st fucking century, Nintendo, and make a console that's like a 360 and the PS3. Make a fucking Pokemon game that you can sit down and play on your television.
I don't know. I think they kind of systematically basically said, you know, that the true Pokemon experience is the portable experience.
I understand that, but I mean, if they did do that, it'd sell like hotcakes.
It would. It would. I think probably the most that we'll ever get would be a Pokemon game that pretty much is like the RPGs that they released on like the GameCube, but maybe have it interactive with the like a 3DS version of the game.
Yeah, so yeah, just standalone Pokemon game, just do it. You know, have online versus if they wanted to do that. You could do double battles if you wanted to.
You could do
tournaments.
Pokemon trading overline online.
Exactly. I mean, the fucking internet is built for that shit. I don't know why they don't use it.
Because it's Nintendo.
They'll be using it pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what we said last year.
I mean, the 3DS is already a pretty huge step for them in the right direction. I mean, Swap Note, people are calling it like draw me picture like Twitter.
Penis?
Pretty much.
Penis.
Yep. So...
Oh, cool, I got a new message. Oh, it's the penis.
Well, that pretty much wraps up everything.
Yep.
So, Mr. Khan, do you have your shout-outs?
Yeah.
Make sure you get it right.
Da-da-da. A shout-out to the Front Towards Gamer Radio. And it's a podcast.
You dick.
I know. A shout-out to the Red Sun Gamer podcast, DJ Mizuhara. It was cool chatting you up on the Vita.
On the Vita.
Yep, on the Vita.
Vita.
Yeah. And I also give a shout out to the All Gen Gamers podcast. I haven't given them a shout out in a while.
Except for about 20 minutes ago.
Yes. And a shout out to the, even though they're probably never listened to our show, the Legacy Music Hour podcast. And those are my shout outs.
All right. Does anybody have anything else before we get out of here?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, then you can do your thing and we can get the f out.
All right. Sounds good. And it goes a little bit like this.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
Oh, you can... It's me, Mario.
Zero dollars.
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Greetings, programs. I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat.
I always live in angry.
Killer Wolverine. Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.